Welcome to our deep dive today.
Oh, excited to be here.
Where we're tackling a topic that's both timeless and incredibly relevant right now.
Yeah.
Faith in global migration.
Okay.
Our guide for this exploration is this thought-provoking book, Divine Conversations, which imagines these modern-day conversations between six major religious figures.
Okay.
And they're all living in the heart of New York City.
It's a really unique approach, isn't it? To have these figures grappling with these issues, not in some abstract vacuum, but while living in New York, interacting with real people.
Real people facing these challenges firsthand.
Yes.
So we're not just getting theological pronouncements, but wisdom grounded in lived experience.
Exactly.
And in chapter 17, Welcoming the Stranger, Faith in Global Migration.
Oh.
Things get particularly interesting.
Yeah.
The book doesn't shy away from the tough questions. How do spiritual teachings about welcoming the stranger square with modern realities of borders, security, and fear?
Yeah.
What's our individual responsibility versus the need for systemic change? It even delves into how to raise compassionate kids in a world that often feels divided.
It's fascinating how the book weaves together the voices of these spiritual leaders.
Right.
With everyday people who are wrestling with these very questions.
Okay, let's dive into chapter 17 then.
Let's do it.
One of the first things that jumped out at me was how each faith tradition represented in the book has such clear teachings on caring for the stranger and the displaced.
Absolutely. And what's striking is how these teachings often stem from shared experiences of displacement and the need for refuge.
Right.
Take Islam, for instance.
Okay.
The book highlights how the Prophet Muhammad himself was a migrant.
Interesting.
Fleeing persecution.
Oh, wow.
This historical context informs the concept of hijra, which means migration, and emphasizes the duty to protect those fleeing similar hardships.
So it's not just an abstract principle.
Right.
But something deeply rooted in lived experience.
Precisely. And in Judaism.
Okay.
We see a constant emphasis on the commandments to care for the stranger.
Yeah.
The book draws a powerful parallel to their ancestors being strangers in Egypt.
Right.
Urging readers to connect with that shared history of vulnerability.
It's a reminder that we've all been the stranger at some point.
Exactly.
In our collective history.
And in Christianity, there's that famous line from Matthew 25, I was a stranger and you welcomed me.
Right.
The book emphasizes how this teaching encourages us to recognize the face of God in everyone, regardless of their origin.
It's amazing how these core values resonate across such diverse faith traditions.
It really is. And this theme of compassion extends beyond the Abrahamic faiths.
Okay.
In Sikhism, the principle of seva, selfless service, takes center stage. The book explains how Sikhs are called to extend this service beyond their own community, embracing a wider sense of responsibility.
And what about Hinduism and Buddhism?
Oh, yeah.
How do they approach the concept of welcoming the stranger?
In Hinduism, the concept of Vasudeva Kutumbakam, the whole world is one family, underscores the interconnectedness of all beings.
I like that.
It's a beautiful reminder that our well-being is intertwined with the well-being of others, regardless of where they come from.
It's like that saying, we are all connected.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And in Buddhism, the focus on alleviating suffering naturally extends to welcoming the stranger.
Okay.
The book explains how suffering arises from separation and division.
Yeah.
And that welcoming the stranger breaks down these barriers, fostering a sense of unity and compassion.
So across these different faiths, there's this consistent thread of recognizing our shared humanity.
Yes.
And acknowledging a responsibility to care for those in need, especially those who are displaced or seeking refuge.
Absolutely.
It makes you wonder why this gets lost so often in the real world debates around migration.
That's a great point. And that's where the book gets really insightful.
Okay.
It doesn't just present these lofty ideals.
Right.
It brings in the voices of everyday people who are grappling with the complexities of migration on the ground.
Okay. So the book acknowledges that it's not always easy to live up to these ideals.
Yeah.
In a world that often feels divided and fearful.
Exactly. The book presents a range of perspectives.
Okay.
Both from immigrants and those who might have anxieties about immigration.
So it's trying to be balanced.
Yes. It creates space for a more nuanced and honest conversation.
Can you give us an example of this tension between the ideal of welcoming the stranger?
Sure.
and the reality of how people experience these issues.
Absolutely. One particularly poignant example is the story of a migrant mother struggling to feel accepted while trying to create a better future for her children.
Oh, wow.
She shares her experiences of discrimination, the challenges of navigating a new language and culture, and the constant fear of being separated from her family.
It's a reminder that these aren't just abstract political debates.
Right.
But issues that have a very real impact on people's lives.
Precisely. And the book also includes voices of people who are wrestling with anxieties about immigration.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps concerns about job security or cultural change.
Yeah.
For example, there's a section where an elderly man, a longtime worker who has contributed greatly to his community, expresses his worry about the impact of migration on the way of life he's known.
So he's seen a lot of changes.
Yeah.
Over time.
Yeah.
And he's not sure how he feels about all of them.
Yeah.
It sounds like the book is trying to create a space for empathy and understanding.
Absolutely.
Recognizing that these issues are complex
and
that people come to them from different perspectives and experiences.
Exactly. And it does so without shying away from the challenges or offering simplistic solutions.
Yeah.
It encourages readers to engage with the nuances, to listen to diverse viewpoints, and to wrestle with the complexities of living out these spiritual values in a complicated world.
It sounds like the book is trying to elevate the conversation beyond the usual political rhetoric and create a space for a more thoughtful and compassionate dialogue.
Absolutely. And what's particularly interesting is how the book, prompted by these real world struggles, pushes beyond personal morality and starts to grapple with the systemic issues surrounding migration.
So it's not just about being nice to your immigrant neighbor,
right?
But about looking at the larger systems and policies that shape the experiences of migrants and refugees.
Exactly. The book delves into the responsibility of governments to create just immigration policies.
Okay.
The role of businesses in ensuring ethical treatment of migrant workers.
Mm-hmm.
And even the need to address root causes of displacement, like poverty and conflict.
That's where things get really interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it starts to challenge not just individual attitudes,
right,
but the very structures that perpetuate inequality and injustice.
Precisely. And the book uses the voices of these spiritual leaders to critique systems that often claim to be based on religious values.
It's kind of calling them out a little bit.
Yeah.
It's a powerful reminder that faith isn't just about personal piety, but about actively shaping a more just world.
Exactly.
I love that. It's like they're saying, don't just quote scripture.
Yeah.
Actually live it out.
Right.
Hold those in power accountable to the values they claim to uphold.
Exactly. And that's where we see these spiritual figures challenging the status quo, pushing for policies that reflect genuine compassion and justice, not just self-interest or fear. They become advocates for the marginalized.
Yeah.
Urging a radical reimagining of how we approach migration.
So the book is kind of a call to action then.
Yeah.
It's not just about understanding these issues intellectually, but about doing something to change them.
And what's particularly powerful is that it doesn't just stay at the level of government policy.
Right.
It goes deeper, exploring how each of us in our everyday lives can contribute to a more welcoming and just approach to migration.
That's a good point.
One of the most thought-provoking sections for me was where they talk about raising a generation of welcomers.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm guessing this is where they get into the whole parenting angle.
Exactly.
How to raise compassionate kids in a world that often feels so divided.
And I think a lot of parents, myself included, can relate to that feeling of wanting to instill those values in our children, but feeling overwhelmed by the state of the world.
So what are some of the key takeaways from the book on raising kids who are open to welcoming the stranger?
Well, the book emphasizes a few key points.
Okay.
First, it highlights the power of leading by example.
I like that.
Children learn far more from what they see us do than from what we say.
Right. Actions speak louder than words.
Exactly. So if we want them to be welcoming and compassionate, we need to embody those values ourselves.
That makes perfect sense. It's about walking the walk, not just talking the talk.
Right. Another crucial point is helping kids see beyond labels like immigrant or foreigner.
Mm-hmm.
The book stresses the importance of emphasizing shared humanity.
Okay.
Helping children recognize the common ground we all share, regardless of our backgrounds.
And what about the whole issue of kids being exposed to negative or biased information about immigration?
Oh, that's tough.
How does the book suggest we tackle that?
That's where teaching kids about the world's interconnectedness comes in, helping them understand how our actions here affect people elsewhere.
Yeah.
How systems of injustice are often global in scope can be really powerful.
So it's about fostering a sense of global citizenship.
Yes.
Understanding our shared responsibility for each other.
Precisely. And the book also emphasizes encouraging acts of service, even small gestures. This not only makes a tangible difference, but helps kids internalize those values of compassion and empathy.
Yeah.
It's about showing them that they can make a difference, even in seemingly small ways.
That's great advice. It's not about shielding them from the realities of the world,
right?
But about empowering them to engage with those realities in a positive and compassionate way.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the most important takeaways from this chapter.
Okay.
It reminds us that welcoming the stranger isn't just some abstract ideal.
Mm.
It's about taking concrete action, both in our personal lives and in our broader systems, to create a more just and compassionate world for everyone.
But, you know, all this talk about systems and policies makes me think about something the book touches on that we haven't really discussed yet.
Oh, okay.
The voices of those who are actually experiencing these challenges.
Right.
The book doesn't just talk about migration in the abstract.
Mm-hmm.
It brings in those real lived experiences, right?
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the most powerful aspects of the book. It gives voice to those who are often silenced or marginalized in these debates.
Okay.
We hear directly from migrants and refugees,
mm-hmm.
sharing their stories of struggle, resilience, and hope.
Can you share some examples that particularly stood out to you?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious to hear how those voices shaped the conversation in the book.
There were several that come to mind. One that was particularly moving was the story of a young woman who came to the U.S. as a refugee fleeing violence in her home country.
That must have been incredibly difficult.
It was. She talks about the trauma she experienced, the challenges of adjusting to a new culture, and the constant fear of being deported.
Her story is a powerful reminder of the human cost of conflict and displacement.
Oh.
We often get so caught up in the political debates that we forget about the individual lives at stake.
Exactly. And the book doesn't just focus on stories of hardship. It also highlights stories of resilience and hope.
Okay.
There's a section where we hear from a man who immigrated to the U.S. decades ago, worked hard, and built a successful life.
That's encouraging to hear it. Shows that it's possible to overcome those challenges and create a new life.
It does. And he talks about the opportunities he found, the sense of community he built, and the contributions he was able to make to his adopted country.
It sounds like a classic immigrant success story. But I'm guessing his story isn't without its complexities.
You're right. He also expresses concerns about the current wave of migration, worrying about its impact on jobs and social cohesion.
That's a really interesting perspective. It highlights how even within immigrant communities, there can be a range of views on these issues.
Absolutely. It's not a simple us versus them narrative. The book does a great job of presenting these diverse perspectives without falling into simplistic binaries.
Yeah, I like that.
It encourages us to grapple with the complexity, to listen to those with different experiences, and to recognize the shared humanity that binds us together even amidst our differences.
I appreciate that the book doesn't shy away from those difficult conversations. Did any of the spiritual leaders' responses to these personal stories particularly resonate with you?
One that comes to mind is the way Siddhartha Gautama, representing the Buddhist tradition, responds to the refugee woman's story.
Okay.
He speaks about the universality of suffering, acknowledging the pain and trauma she's experienced, but he also emphasizes the power of resilience.
Yeah.
The ability to find peace and meaning, even amidst hardship. He reminds her that true belonging comes not from a place, but from the connections we make and the compassion we cultivate within ourselves.
That's beautiful. It's a reminder that even amidst the harshest realities, there's still hope, still a possibility for healing and connection.
And when speaking with the man concerned about the impact of migration, Prophet Muhammad's response is quite striking.
Okay, interesting.
He acknowledges the man's fears, but also challenges him to consider the broader context.
So he validates the man's feelings, but also invites him to see things from a different perspective.
Yes, he reminds him that migration is often driven by factors beyond individual control.
Mm-hmm.
Things like poverty, conflict, and persecution. He calls for empathy and understanding, urging the man to see the migrants not as competitors, but as fellow human beings seeking safety and a better life.
It's almost like he's trying to shift the focus from individual anxieties to a more systemic understanding of the root causes of migration.
Exactly. And I think that's crucial. It's so easy to get caught up in our own immediate concerns and lose sight of the bigger picture. The book does a great job of bringing in those wider perspectives, reminding us that these issues are interconnected and require a more holistic approach.
It's like they're saying, yes, your anxieties are valid, but let's also look at the factors that are driving these patterns of migration in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Let's address those root causes rather than just reacting out of fear or self-interest.
Precisely. And that's where the conversation in the book starts to get really interesting. It moves beyond individual acts of charity and starts exploring the responsibility we have to create more just and equitable systems.
So it's not just about welcoming the stranger at our doorstep, but about examining the structures that create those situations of displacement and hardship in the first place.
Exactly. And that's where the book's use of these spiritual figures becomes particularly thought-provoking.
Okay.
They're not just offering platitudes about being nice to immigrants. They're challenging systems of power, critiquing policies, and calling for a more radical reimagining of how we approach migration.
Okay, I'm really intrigued. Now, can you give us a specific example of how the book tackles these systemic issues?
One example that stands out is the discussion on the role of governments in creating just immigration policies.
Okay.
Moses, representing the Jewish tradition with its emphasis on law and justice, becomes a particularly powerful voice in this conversation.
I can see how that would be a compelling combination.
Law, justice.
And the moral imperative to welcome the stranger. That's a strong foundation for critiquing unjust systems.
Right. And the book doesn't shy away from pointing out the hypocrisy of nations that claim to uphold religious values while enacting policies that are harmful to migrants and refugees.
So it's holding those in power accountable, not just to secular laws, but to the higher moral principles they claim to espouse.
Exactly. And it doesn't stop there. The book also explores the role of businesses in ensuring the ethical treatment of migrant workers.
That's a huge issue. We often hear about exploitation and abuse in industries that rely heavily on migrant labor. How does the book approach this?
Well, it brings in voices of workers who share their experiences of being underpaid, overworked, and denied basic rights. And then it challenges the spiritual leaders to grapple with the ethical implications of these practices.
So it's not just about individual employers being nice, but about looking at the structural factors that make exploitation possible in the first place.
Yes. And that's where the book's interfaith dialogue becomes really interesting. You have figures from different traditions bringing their unique perspectives to bear on this issue.
Yeah, that's a good point.
For example, Guru Nanak, representing the Sikh faith, emphasizes the importance of Sevalite selfless service and the need to protect the vulnerable regardless of their origin or status.
I love that it's like they're saying our faith calls us to care for those who are being exploited, regardless of whether they're citizens or migrants.
Exactly. And it's not just about charity. It's about challenging the systems that allow exploitation to flourish. It's about demanding justice, not just offering handouts.
Okay, so we've talked about the role of governments and businesses, but what about the individual? What role do we play in creating a more welcoming and just world for migrants?
That's where the book's emphasis on personal transformation comes in. It's not enough to simply critique systems. We also have to look inward and examine our own attitudes, beliefs, and actions.
So it's about that inner work, challenging our own biases, and becoming more conscious of how our own choices impact others.
Exactly. And it's about cultivating compassion, empathy, and a willingness to step outside of our comfort zones.
Okay.
The book encourages us to get involved in our communities, to support organizations working with migrants and refugees, to educate ourselves about these issues, and to speak out against injustice.
That's powerful. It's a reminder that even small actions can make a difference, especially when multiplied across a community.
Yes.
It's about that ripple effect. Spreading awareness and inspiring others to get involved.
Absolutely. And that's where I think the book's message of hope really shines through. It acknowledges the complexities, the challenges, the often disheartening realities of the world. Mm. But it also reminds us that we have the power to choose compassion, to act with justice, and to create a more welcoming and inclusive world.
I love that it's not about naive optimism, but about a grounded hope that's rooted in action, in our willingness to show up, to speak out, and to fight for a better world. And it's not just about grand gestures or sweeping policy changes.
The book really emphasizes the power of small, everyday acts of kindness and welcome.
That's something I think we can all do, regardless of our background or beliefs. What are some specific examples that the book suggests?
It could be as simple as getting to know your neighbors, especially if they're recent immigrants.
Yeah.
Learning about their culture, sharing a meal, offering a helping hand. These small gestures can go a long way in making people feel seen and valued.
It's about breaking down those barriers of otherness and building bridges of understanding.
Exactly.
Sometimes we get so caught up in the big political debates that we forget about the importance of human connection.
Exactly. And the book reminds us that behind the statistics and policy debates, there are real people with hopes, dreams, and struggles.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It challenges us to see the human face of migration, to connect with those personal stories and to let empathy guide our actions.
So it's not just about advocating for policy changes, but about extending compassion and kindness in our everyday interactions.
Absolutely. And I think faith can play a powerful role in motivating and inspiring those acts of welcome.
Right.
It can connect us to those deeper values of compassion, empathy, and justice.
It's like tapping into that wellspring of love and generosity that exists within so many faith traditions.
Exactly. And that's what I find so inspiring about this book.
Yeah.
It acknowledges the complexities, the challenges, the often disheartening realities of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But it also offers a message of hope.
Okay.
It reminds us that we have the power to choose compassion, to act with justice, and to create a more welcoming and inclusive world.
It's not about naive optimism, but about a grounded hope that's rooted in action, in our willingness to show up, to speak out, and to fight for a better world.
Exactly.
This deep dive has really been thought-provoking. It's given me a lot to think about, both in terms of my own actions and the larger systems we need to change.
I feel the same way. The book offers a powerful framework for thinking about these issues in a more nuanced and compassionate way.
It's definitely challenged some of my assumptions and prompted me to ask some deeper questions about what it truly means to welcome this stranger.
And that's the beauty of a book like this.
Yeah.
It doesn't offer easy answers, but it invites us into a deeper conversation.
Right.
A conversation that can lead to both personal transformation and collective action.
And it's a conversation we need to keep having, especially in a world that's increasingly interconnected and diverse.
Absolutely. The challenges of migration aren't going away anytime soon, but the book reminds us that we have the power to shape the future, to create a world that's more compassionate and more welcoming for all.
Well said. And that brings us to the end of our deep dive into Welcoming the Stranger from Divine Conversations. We highly recommend checking out the book if you want to explore these ideas further.
Yes.
It's a challenging read, but an incredibly rewarding one.
I completely agree. It's a book that stays with you long after you finished it.
And on that note, we want to thank you for joining us. We hope this deep dive has sparked some new insights and inspired you to think more deeply about how we can all contribute to a more welcoming and just world.
Until next time, keep those minds open and those conversations flowing.